Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Dua Lipa and the Grammys. I'm sorry, she should have been gay. There was so much chemistry between her and Annie Clark, and Annie Clark is confirmed queer, but we don't know that about Dua Lipa, so, you know, just saying.
Annie Clark, also known as
Saint Vincent, and she's also from Dallas. Shout out to our Texas Bay with the guitar.
No. What up, Cabrona?
What's poppin', Chingona? What up? So, if y'all didn't know before, I am Fried Papita.
I'm Maite, aka La Chingona.
Hey, and I'm Fried Papita, La Cabrona. I forgot. I left that out. But in case y'all didn't know, we're separate people.
Yeah,
but
in case you're tuning in for this one day at a time themed episode, it's our third one.
Yes, it's our annual, as long as they please keep renewing this show, we're going to keep deep diving the fuck out of the show. So, welcome to it.
Yes, woo! Welcome. When for the 1.2 of you that don't know, One Day at a Time is a Netflix original. It's a comedy, a remake of a sitcom from like the 70s or 60s, like a long time ago. And it's in its third season, and we reviewed it when it came out in 2017. Which came out like in January, and then in 2018 came out in January, and this year, much to our chagrin, came out in February. But we're here. And,
like, we're still here. We're still kicking. That's lit. Like, I think our second episode ever was a review of One Day at a Time. So
it was.
That's how much we love this show.
Adore it.
So what we're going to try to do today is, like, change the format up. We're only going to be talking about One Day at a Time. So if you don't like One Day at a Time, then you probably don't like us. I don't know. We might have to fight. We might have to box, because this is our thing.
Yeah, I mean, if you heard the previous One Day at a Time episodes, you know that we do it differently. We literally go through bit by bit and talk about everything in the show. And we're going to start off just talking about it in a general way, in a non-spoilery way, so you don't have to worry if you haven't seen it yet. We'll talk about it for a few more minutes here without spoiling anything, and then we'll tell you. We'll be like, hey, it's time for us to break it down and tell you about yourself.
You finna come out of that we finna move that curtain like abuela does. That's what we're gonna do too. Finna move that curtain, come out with all of our tea. So if you don't want to just hang out for the first couple minutes, and then after that go watch the entire series like we did in a sitting.
What are you on just for this third season of One Day at a Time? What are you giving it as far as your rating?
Oh my god, rating? Okay. When we talk about like everything that we've ever wanted in a show, we always compare it. There's only like one show we compare it to, and one movie. This is the show. I give this 5.5 pan dulces? Yeah, 5.5 pan dulces. Because it went further than I thought it would in a lot of topics that I didn't think it was possible to be, like, juggling that many serious social issues in one episode, and yet it's still, like, super fucking funny. So, what about you?
Yeah, no cafecitos. And I watched this thing twice through over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And, wait, was it just twice? I feel like it was more than that. I don't know.
Oh, you watched it more?
I think, like, okay, well, the thing is that before I watched this season, as you know, I went to see a couple of the live tapings, and
that's right.
And then last week, a couple of days before it premiered, I went to go see one of the episodes at the LGBTQ Center. I forget exactly what it's called, but Open Hollywood. They had like a little premiere thing, and they aired one of the episodes, and there was a panel with a bunch of the cast and crew. Ugh. I have to tell you, I'll tell you about it like as we go through the episodes, because there's little things that they said about several parts and one particular episode that, you know, the one that they aired that day. But so I'd already seen 3 episodes, and then on another night I got drunk and then watched those first 3 episodes, and then I watched them again because we had a little watch party. Yeah. So my life has been One Day at a Time for like 3 days now. 4 maybe 5
4 yeah 5
Fuck.
Yeah,
something, I mean, like 5
maybe.
Yeah,
dude, I stayed up till like 5 in the morning because, like, I didn't have, like, for the first time I had a life, so I actually was not at my house very often, so I had to like literally squeeze in to watch one day at a time till like 5 a.m. And yeah, I think I only seen it like one and a half way through, because the next day my mom watched it and I binged like 3-4 episodes before I just like was exhausted and passed out. So
jeez.
Yeah, but I feel you. It's you know, I broke the tradition of watching it with my mom, so I kind of fucked up.
No, here's the beauty of it. It's on Netflix and you can watch it forever.
Yeah, shout out to y'all. Okay, so guys, we really need the ratings. This show needs the ratings. Like, we want it renewed. We want another season. We want more Penelope being an amazing woman, and literally everyone, just everyone in this show is just doing my favorite things. So I don't know. Well, how much less spoilery can we go into it?
Well, what I was going to mention was, speaking of supporting the show, if you do love the show or if you just want to make us happy, apparently the key number is 4. So before the month is up, which I think is just probably only have like a week left here from by the time that we release this episode to our full audience, if you watch at least 4 episodes, that will help one day at a time tremendously. So if you're trying to do this the slow route, I would recommend 4.
Come on, y'all, 4 episodes, and that's all we need for the beginning. But trust me, they're going to want to watch more after them. 4
episodes. I know, it starts off so strong.
I didn't even know where 1 ended and began, but also it's because it was like 3 in the morning, so, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that.
They all mesh together for me. It's one big movie. I don't know, but yeah, it's...
You know, that's something that they talked about. They talked about how... because, you know, Mike Royce and Gloria Kelly Calderon, the executive producers, have done many sitcoms before this show. And they talked about during this panel that they didn't have to do the end, like a traditional happy ending, like a wrap up of an ending per episode, because it's bingeable and because it's not a week to week show. They were able to play with the format a lot. And that's why the sitcom feels really different from other sitcoms.
And there's a lot of continuity, like, something happens like 3 episodes ago and it actually sticks. Like I'm just like, it's one of my pet peeves with like TV shows is that things, they just, what the fuck, like every week's different. And I don't mind that in shows like in Atlanta, right? But like with this one, I'm like, no, like give me my fucking continuity. And it really needs it, and it tells like a more complete story because of it, to me. I think so.
Yeah, because the thing is that this is all written at once and then filmed at once, as opposed to a lot of shows like CW shows, for example, which are being literally like written at the same time as they're airing. So they will take from the audience, like if somebody gets really pissed off at something, they'll take from that and maybe like adjust the storyline, whereas One Day at a Time is like full creative control story. Like full creative control by all these amazing writers.
Oh, and shout out to, can we shout them out? Like, I love what they're doing this. Like, I love what they're doing every season, but, like, for real, though, the bulk of what they're, like, tackling this season is, like, wow. So, I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was a nomination for a Humanitas Award for Michelle Badillo and her writing partner, Carolyn. I forget her last name because I'm an asshole. But yep. There was that. There's so many good episodes that like they get highlighted like as single episodes too. Like there's articles written about these single episodes in a sitcom. Like, do you know how wild that is? Like that's how great it is that it's on a network like Netflix, I guess.
No, it's amazing. I'm ready. Are you ready? I want to get into it.
Yeah, let's do it. So, like I said, this is the cutoff point. We want you guys to be able to watch this without us spoiling the plot, because this show starts off right off the bat with the juice. I don't know.
There's so much.
So go, oh my God. Go watch it, yeah, if you haven't seen it already, and then come back to minute whatever, 9 or 10 that it is of this episode, and listen to our thoughts on each and every single episode of this show.
Yes, we're opening that curtain.
Of season 3, not the whole thing.
Yeah. Oh my God, dude. Season 1, episode 1, you were not playing. Oh my God, dude. Like, oh, there's so much there. Like, families, like Latino families and like funerals is just like a giant petty fest. And I live.
Yes, Tia Bishi. You know what? Like, that's going to be my new Twitter name, Tia Bishi.
Tia Bishi.
Who calls me Tia Bishi? She was awesome in real life, and in the screening. This is one of the two episodes that I watched live, and like the way that they had, like, you'd be surprised, they have them do like several different lines to see which one's the funniest one, and there was, I think, like one of the reactions from her was literally like saying nothing. She just like made a face, and then another one, she was like, you know, the one that made her onto the show. So good. But let's see. I guess, like, in comparison to last season's start of the show, it was pretty light.
Yeah, it was a lot lighter. I mean, there's not, like, that follow-up of, like, too much drama other than, like, you know, Abuela's good now. And, you know, you see everyone in black and you're like, what's going on? Like, everyone's having a normal day, it seems. But, okay. I like the tone of this episode, but my favorite thing is Elena freaking out because she's found the other gay person in the family. Like, it's everything I've ever wanted.
Yes, and that person happens to be queer in real life and one of the stars of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Stephanie Beatriz. Ah. So that's pretty dope. Yeah, they were like,
yeah, and
they had great chemistry.
They did, and the best part of it is that, like, I identify with her Thea so much, because I was like, that's me, because I like the way they mentioned, you know, that she wasn't, like, queer, they just kind of, like, made a face and threw their hands in the air, and you're like, oh, you know her, she's just, you know, eccentric, and she just has a roommate.
Yeah, and speaking of her roommate, did you recognize who that was?
Yes, I did. Shout out to Michelle Badillo. We saw you. We see you.
Yeah, I was so stoked that she was on there. And her name was Susan. She tweeted about, like, keeping on the long-standing tradition of lesbian seasons on television, which I thought was
great.
Shout
out, friends.
Yeah.
No, and then, like, my favorite part is that also, like, Stephanie Beatriz's character was wearing, like, traditional men's clothing.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
The Cuban, like, garb, yeah.
And shout out to that. It looks really similar to, like, menswear in Yucatan. It's kind of like the same outfit, honestly. I don't know. I forget what the kind of shirts
they are.
I'm
not familiar.
Yeah, anyways, I thought that was cool. They were fucking with gender. And I think the best part was the conversation that she had with Elena, talking about, you know, she's... Oh, did you hear that little joke about Hayley Kiyoko they put in there? Lesbian Jesus.
yeah. There was, yeah, I remember it. Like, I feel like there was different versions of it, like, in the live, but I can't remember what they were because it's been, like, freaking forever. But, yeah, I loved it. I remember people were, like, tripping out.
Because they're like, oh, they know. They have young people writing.
Yeah, definitely.
But, like, the important thing I took away from this episode, less about the mom and the parents, is more focused on Elena because I'm gay, you know, that's what I care about.
There wasn't a whole lot of, like, substance or, like, it was really just a celebratory episode. It was like, look at all these guest stars, let's have fun with that.
And that was the best part, because it was like, oh, wow, like, Gloria Estefan actually is Cuban. Like, this is cool.
Yeah, Gloria Estefan, the woman who sings the theme song of the show, was there live
in the show,
in the flesh, coming up to the audience and dancing with us. That was dope. Yeah.
No, I mean, the only, like, substance thing I took away from it that was really important for, like, maybe gabies is that Elena had that conversation with her Thea, and her Thea was like, you know, best thing about being, like, gay when you're old is that you don't give a fuck. You're just, like, that's not, like, a major part of your personality anymore. It's just, like, one of the facets of your personality. It's not even the most interesting thing about you, you know? You're like, I got other shit going on for me. So,
yeah.
I thought that was cool.
I thought it was definitely very probably very comforting for people like myself who can't, you know, don't want to come out or, like, don't really feel comfortable with it or whatever. Like,
yeah, and, like, you don't need to say it. Like, it's not something you have to verbalize. You just live it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I like that a lot, because it was just comforting to think, like, especially the line where she says, these old ladies, I know they love me, you know, it's just whatever, it doesn't even matter. Yeah
It's like, I don't need them to, like, acknowledge that part of me, because I know they love me and I know who I am. And I was like, word, like, representation matters.
Yeah,
so anyway, that's I mean, we took away the same thing, because we're both like those Theas. We're like the gay Theas, so we know, we understand.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, we're getting there. And then the hand raising thing. So like you said earlier, like the family, and they didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want to say the words. So whenever they were referring to somebody as queer or whatever, they would raise their hands up. And even Elena, the first time that her mom does it, she's like, that's really offensive immediately. And it's true. It's kind of true. It's like, that's kind of messed up. Like I'm such a bad thing that you won't even say it out loud. But it's also like such a prominent part of our peoples.
Yeah, that was very true. It was like, we're not even going to verbalize what it is. Like, you know, shame. Like, how dare we even say it? It's rude to say out loud. And it's not. It's not a rude thing to say out loud.
Or it's a rude thing to ask or whatever. I'm like, it sucks that we're in that place. You know, I don't know. Maybe in future seasons that can change or adjust. I don't know. But I thought it was just an interesting thing that I should point out. That, like, that just because, like, yes, it was used for like comedy in this particular episode doesn't mean that it's like okay completely, you know?
Yeah, it's not like funny to us in real life. It's just kind of like you did that.
It's a punchline. Okay. yeah
word. Also
the,
I like
the, sorry,
whoa, the ending
the ending done by another guest star, the other guest star that we haven't mentioned yet, another star from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
And that fucking ending, I think that was really true and honest to like Latino people too, is that there are Latino Trump supporters and we just try to not acknowledge them, but they exist and they're in our family. And you see everyone else's face when she was like, and because she got to see America great again, and then literally everyone else's face in there was like, this bitch did not just,
yeah, like honestly, shout out to Melissa Fumero from Brooklyn Nine-Nine for portraying the bad guy in this case. And then it was actually kind of weird, I don't know if you noticed it, but like everybody was kind of looking at Melissa Fumero's character and Penelope and their chemistry and how they were like overly like obsessed with each other. Everybody was like, what is this, why are they that like into it, you know? It's kind of weird.
Yeah, their chemistry was a little strong,
a little too good.
Too good. But I mean, I was like, I guess they're supposed to be related, but I see what you see, but I was like, all right, whatever, go off,
right?
But
I like that they sort of dragged her. They're like, fuck that noise, and then they ended the episode and she didn't come back, so
yeah, fuck that bitch forever. The character. And then, okay, so should we go ahead and move on to episode 2? Because that's, I think, my second favorite episode.
Really? Actually, I really like this episode, yeah. Okay, so episode 2, called Outside. It's definitely my favorite one as far as, like, one of the issue-tackling episodes. Like, the ones that are, like, there's an issue and that's what the whole episode's about. This one was my favorite, like, for sure.
Yeah, I think they're, like you said, they're covering a lot. They're covering an issue, a social topic, but it doesn't feel like it's educational. It feels like a conversation, which is the only thing I really ask for, like, shows like that, is that they don't preach to me. And so it didn't feel preachy. And oh my god, dude, so let's talk about all the things they covered in this one fucking episode. Like toxic masculinity, one.
It was all kind of tied in together, right? Like toxic masculinity tied into
consent,
tied into harassment, tied into like just all kinds of shit, like everything that, you know, women, and in particular they dive into queer women have to go through in public because of these little things that men take for granted. So
there's a lot of conversation, because there's a point in the episode that they have that conversation as a family in the living room where they're trying to get Alex to like not be,
they're trying
stupid?
To get him to understand what he did wrong.
Yeah, because he was, you know, kind of harassing a girl, kind of not, but it's more harassing. And he's kind of like being a toxic dude. That conversation had with their abuela, I feel like it was like a really powerful moment where I was like really watching like really good acting and really good writing. And that's what happens when you get all of those things at the same time. Like Elena always ends up getting like the best lines.
Yeah, she gets a lot of the Twitter lines, which, side note, I don't know if you noticed during this particular episode and a few other episodes, but Isabella Gomez, the one who plays Elena, must know that gay people cannot sit right for the life of them, because she was sitting all kinds of crazy. But
she doesn't know how to sit still, right? She's just like,
just like doesn't sit straight, like, no pun intended. But that's exactly what gay people do, so that's fine. Yeah, so like backing up a little bit, even before they get on to Alex, they have the conversation about sexual harassment in the workplace with El Bobo, mm-hmm. who's all reluctant and douchey about it. And he's just come from this like whatever conference about like harassing people. And yeah, like basically him, like El Bobo, this blondie that she works with, that's like so many of men these days who are just like, it's so hard for me to keep it in my pants. Like, that's the hard part of this whole situation. And then you get to actually really hammer in on, like, this is the fucking problem.
Yeah, and it's like, everything he said, I was just, like, put off by, because that's, like, the reality. That's, like, how guys really think.
Yeah,
guys really think they can just, like, they really do be just saying some mad, wild, disrespectful shit. Talking about, you know, objectifying your own body to your face. And you're like, bro, you can't even do that, like, behind my back, like, around the corner in a different room with someone else. You said it directly to me, bro. Like,
and you thought it was a compliment. Yeah. Like,
dude. I think it's creepy and scary and aggressive. It's like, bro, leave your, like... And I think that was really cool. Like, they're... You said in the workplace, and I'm thinking more like Elena's and Sid's story. They're also very, very cute in this episode. Like,
yeah, they're trying to figure out the name for Sid, because last season they called Sid Elena's girlfriend, but that's not like super accurate for her. So they ended up with significant other.
Significant other. That's so cute. I'm gonna start referring to Glow as that. But like, what I liked about that, though, is they're also having this conversation about, like, pronouns and, like, how to respect someone else's, like, pronouns and gender identity. And it's so easy. Like, they didn't make a thing out of it. It was like, okay,
that wasn't even the issue. Right. No, it was, like, a fun part of the episode.
Yeah, it was one of the best parts of the episode, honestly. Like, one of the most carefree parts that weren't so serious.
The light ones.
One of the light ones. And then moving to the heavy one, the one that I keep going thinking about is, like, they talk about how queer women or queer presenting femme people get treated out in public, you know, like, so they tell this little story of Elena and Sid on the bus holding hands, and a bunch of, like, a crowd of men just start following them. And that's super fucking scary. Like, yeah. That's happened, and you just, like, that's happened. I feel like that's happened to queer people, period. Like, you just that's get followed.
Women, yeah, especially like women, period. And then
femme presenting people, they get harassed just for existing in the world, right? And by like groups of dudes, and they don't see how that's like fucking terrifying.
They really, like, don't. That's the worst fucking part. I remember like being young, I'm sure everybody has their own fucking story. I mean, even in this, what I really liked about this episode is that Elena has her own story, the mom has her own story, the grandma doesn't have like a story per se, but you know, she
talk about grandma's story,
but yeah, but Abuela is like too busy, you know, well, we talked about this before, she's too busy like basically pushing patriarchal notions like herself, because she grew up in that, and she doesn't like see it, she doesn't see it the same way that Elena does or Penelope does.
And I feel like that's super true to, like, Latino culture, is, like, you'll have, like, the elders that are also, like, pushing these ideas of misogyny and, like, fucking disrespect on women. And it's just passed down in generations. It's not always the men that pass it down. It's sometimes the women. And that's what Abuela's doing, is she's, like, enabling toxic masculinity. And not just that, like, older generations, they think it's normal. Like, they think it's cool.
They think it's
like,
okay. That's just,
they think, oh, okay, it's the way it's always been, it's the way it's going to be. And it's, like, the best part of this episode is that, like, you can see the different generations with the different ideas, like, Abuela, Penelope, and then Elena, and how different all of their ideas are about harassment and how they deal with it. You know, Elena and Sid don't even want to leave the house because they don't want to get harassed. And that's a real thing.
And not to mention, it was pretty realistic, the fact that, like, Elena didn't bring this up until it got basically pushed out of her. Like, I never told my parents about, like, the harassy, fucked up shit that dudes did to me. Like, in my head, it was like, oh, it's a part of fucking life. Like, anytime that I would tell a dude that I had a girlfriend or something, like, they'd be like, oh, can I watch? Like, that was the automatic thing that you would hear from douchey straight dudes every fucking time. And I couldn't go to my parents with that, and Elena didn't either, even though Elena has this badass mother.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that in my bones. Like, Elena is just like, you know, you don't want to scare them, but at the same time, it's just like, you're kind of scared too. You're like, fuck these people. So, mm-hmm. I really loved this episode so much. I can't, like, it's just so real to our, like, our cultural identity, our experience. Like, Abuela Penelope's own story about how she got harassed in the military and how she was like, well, they basically said nothing was going to happen and they're just going to transfer me. Like, I was the problem.
And that's a big deal or a big thing in the military. Like, I've heard the horror stories from friends of mine that have been in the military and otherwise that, like, men, like, just as they can't out here on the outside, even in freaking basic training, they're fucking horrible.
Yeah, my best friend is, like, has to, like, he's in the military and he has to actually, like, he's like, hey guys, don't rape people, okay? He's like, I can't believe I have to actually tell this to grown men. I have to right. tell them to not rape people. He's like, I fucking hate dudes. Like, like, it's just, it's feel so that. Fucked up out here. Like, yeah, feel it in my soul, my bones. But I mean, the lighthearted part of this, again, my away from the social issues, is that Sid and Elena are adorable, and they are redefining queer norms. It's like, are you an Aloha shirt queer? Are you a flannel queer? Doesn't matter. You're both nerds. And I like it. I stand.
Nerds. Yeah, they're such dorks. Okay. All right. Episode 3. You
yes.
ready?
Yes.
Episode ready. 3 is called Benefit with Friends.
Benefit with Friends.
This is probably one of the episodes that we have very little to say about because it's your obligatory straight episode. It's kind of all about, like, Schneider finding love, Penelope finding somebody. It's about more antics from Abuela hanging out with her platonic friend, the doctor.
I mean, the cool part about this episode is that we got to meet Belmondo and Lorenzo.
Belmondo and, oh.
The typewriter and the hammer.
God, I can't believe that you noted that, but sure.
Oh my, dude, I'm never going to forget that. Like,
I'm not a hammer or a typewriter. Actually, I kind of am a typewriter lesbian.
Dude. You're a writer. Yeah. You're just not looking for a Lorenzo, okay? You're not looking for a hammer.
No hammers here.
You want some, like, you know.
I want
some,
nothing.
You want some cuttlefish ink. You, like, I really like this episode more than I thought.
God.
Yeah, I mean, it was really straight. Shout out to Schneider meeting Avery. I ship it. I might be the only one. I ship it.
I mean, they're married in real life, so.
I know. That's why I was like, cool. We're going to meet his real life wife, and she's adorable. He's adorable. Love.
Yeah. Definitely. Okay. All right, cool. Good episode. Next one.
Episode 4. Episode 4.
Is that one that you're excited about? I also watched this one live.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You saw this one live?
I did.
Actually, I like episode 7 is going to be my favorite episode of all time, but
don't tell us yet. Let's talk about 4.
Okay, episode 4. Okay, so, 4. You want me to, the family takes a trip to San Diego.
Yes. The main takeaway is, like, literally how mothers baby their boys.
Thank you. That episode is so important because, like, when you're the queer daughter and then you see the way your brother's getting treated for you, your brothers, you feel and you notice and you see the difference. It's a big fucking difference.
I gotta say, like, the hotel room scene was one of the most memorable when it came to when it came to shooting live, because of the grandma coming out of the closet scene. That was the fucking best. Everybody was cracking up. And, like, whenever the brother, because Penelope's brother shows up in this episode, whenever he comes in through the door, since nobody knows who he is, it was really hard to get the crowd hyped for it. So everybody was like, ooh, this is good. I'm fucking, like, I'm not, like, gonna laugh about it. Like, it's hard to get a reaction from the crowd, basically, when he came in. So, like, they kept kind of upping it until he finally came in there just literally just dancing. And then there was actually one shot where he came in and they were, like, about to, basically, you know how, like, Latinos, they kiss on the cheek whenever they say hi? Then, like, the Penelope and their brother, like, accidentally kissed. I was like, oh god. Yeah, it was just
y'all didn't know who he was. He's the guy from, like, Cold Case from, like, back in 2002
or something.
Yeah, some shit like that.
Well, that what I mean by didn't know who he was, we didn't know who he was in the context of the episode.
Oh, he's just some guy and you're like, we don't know he's a Theo,
right? Yeah, so we weren't, like, excited about it like Abuela was.
Oh, that makes sense.
And there was a scene that didn't make it in, because if you notice, Abuela calls him Papito, just like she calls Alex.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where Alex is like, you know, why the fuck are you calling him Papito? And homeboy has to pull out like $100 bill and be like, and Alex was like, okay, papito eres.
I remember that's that. So cute, because like he's the only boy of like her, so he's like the original Alex, but she loves Alex more.
Right, is what the turnout of that episode is.
Yeah, I mean the best part of the episode is that like there's having like an interesting conversation between Elena and Alex, like it's more about like familial bonds, and I really liked the conversation that they had out on the boat where it was just them two alone. They're kind of being forced to bond because the mom is trying to bond with her own brother. So Elena and Alex are having that conversation where Alex is like, you know, don't you hate me? Right. And Elena's like, you know, no.
I hate
everything.
Yeah.
Bro, I've literally had that conversation with my brother, like in real life. I was sitting there like, this is me and my brother talking right now. He's taking a selfie just like him. That's what funny. The fuck? Like my brother is Alex. Like he's like constantly taking selfies.
But he's older than you.
Yeah, but he's older than me, but he acts like Alex. But yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, that scene, the Schneider and the dog scenes, and then like one other little scene, they were all filmed ahead of time. So we would just react to like the screen of it. Yeah. But it was
that
pretty...
That was adorable.
It was cool. Yeah.
Schneider. Schneider had like a bigger role this season, I feel.
He definitely did. Yeah.
Gotta
keep that white audience.
Yeah,
I mean that in the best way.
You gotta keep the show relatable, but I love him. If we're gonna have a dorky, funny white guy, let it be Schneider. He's lit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my takeaway from episode. That's my takeaway from episode 4 is that how like you know Latino boys can get away with murder and not even show up when your mom's in the hospital, but still be the favorite. So,
dude, glad they addressed it.
They acknowledged the truth of the sexism in our culture. I love it.
Yes. All right, episode 5.
Oh,
nip it in the bud. People have mixed feelings about this, apparently.
I think, what, you too?
I don't, but I talked to somebody else that does, yeah.
I had mixed feelings on this.
So this is a marijuana episode.
Yes. So Alex is underage, and he is trying marijuana at a music festival.
Buddy Fest.
Wow. Buddy Fest. That's hilarious. My only thing with this is, like, I get that Alex is underage and he shouldn't be smoking, but my thing about this whole episode was the conversation that Penelope has with Alex after he's caught, after, you know, she finds out he was smoking weed. They're taking like a really hardline stance against marijuana use in a state that's legal, and I thought that was weird, just because like. What's your takeaway?
You don't think... I thought it was pretty well-rounded because she literally goes straight to, like, therapy. And all of these veterans have a moment to talk about how beneficial it is for them. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of parts of it where like, I get it. I think she was definitely very hard on it. I think even the show made her out to look like, especially during the therapy scene, that she was a little too hard on it because, like, there was a little... conflict there between her and the people that she was with.
Yeah, I mean, I like that, but I just didn't like her stance, and that because it's not like she went back to him and was like, well, it's okay, you can do it when you're 18 or 21, whatever, right? But she didn't go back to do that. And but I mean, I feel like maybe they could have gone deeper on the whole like, you're a person of color and you're breaking the law.
You don't think that they did?
No, I feel like
she talked about it. She was like saying that she herself got like arrested that one time, and that like the only reason she got really lucky getting free, and that the white person that she was with didn't have any consequences, and like literally they told her like, hey, like you're a person of color, like this works differently for you, and she told Alex that. I thought that she hammered on it at least enough.
No, I mean that's the thing though, like I'm still in this place where I'm like, I feel like she could have made like a, not her, but like whoever wrote it, maybe could have made like a more interesting, harder stance on like the fact that people of color are systematically oppressed, and people with non-violent drug charges are most often the people that are targeted by the police. And that, like, I feel like maybe we could have thrown in some more into that, because that's just hardcore the truth right now. There's plenty of people in California prisons right now because for what's legal now, you know? And I feel like maybe that conversation should have been maybe a little bit more clear, because as I'm watching it, I was just kind of like, she's not really hammering down the right parts. Like, maybe they didn't know how to quite touch it. Maybe their producers were like, don't get into it too much. But like, the private prison industry definitely like targets young men of color. And I wanted that to be more hammered in versus the don't ever do drugs, even though this state is legal and at 21 or whatever, 18, you can do it. Because I guess that they have like a whole United States, like, you know, they have to think of the entire audience. But I was thinking about how if we want to normalize and to cause actual change, then maybe we shouldn't be having the conversation of completely not pretending like you should never do it and only white people are allowed to do it and only white people are allowed to live in that space. They are, but at the same time, the only way to change it is to have those conversations. So that was my only thing about this episode, because right after they made it hilarious and you saw Abuela high as fuck and it was hilarious.
Well, to me, I don't know. I guess like that's a whole other episode that they could do in the future, is talking about like prisons and that whole issue, and it's probably gonna be Elena who brings it up, let's be honest. So
yeah,
just as far as like an underage kid doing this drug and then like talking about how it's beneficial for veterans, and the doctor himself like uses it for his own pain, I think like it was in the context that it's not the worst thing in the world. They did not bring up the prison stuff. You're totally right about that.
I think that's what I mean.
You can't fit that into this episode.
That's what I mean. I'm like, oh, but like, okay, we get that part. I get that you're showing it's okay, but like, let's talk about how it really targets people and young men of color. That was my thing, because I felt like that was a perfect opportunity to bring it up, because he's so young and this is happening to people everywhere. So that was my only thing. I get what you're saying on your end, but that's my two cents on that. But the rest of the episode was super fucking funny. Like, Abuela being
Let's talk about some other parts of the episode. We get introduced to Cynthia in this episode. She's a trans character who, on the show, she identifies as a woman, and she's an Asian American woman. But in real life, Nikki Endres, she identifies as non-binary, trans feminine, and queer. So she's cool with like the she, her, and the they, them pronouns. So like, she was at the panel that I went to last week one of the episodes, and she was awesome. Like, she was like fangirling over the cast and the crew and she was just like the best, and I'm super excited that she was on this show and on this episode, because she is lovely, and they brought like a real trans actress to play a trans actor or a character.
And that's perfect, because I wanted to segue into talking about the support group and how actually diverse and realistic everyone in that group is, because they're all like vets, they're all war vets. So I think, and they have real representation. They have a disabled woman, they have a trans woman, they have Afro-Latinas, they have a queer Afro-Latina woman, they got a black woman, they got a white lady who was actually the OG one from One Day at a Time. But like, I love that. That's real diversity, and they're all in there together.
Yeah, I love that support group. It was one of the... They talked about on the panel that apparently the ladies in the support group hang out in real life now, which I think is really cute.
That is so adorable. Because, like, you can tell they have, like, good energy around them. And, like...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's really nice to see. And it's, like, rare. It's fucked up. But, like, to see a disabled person play themselves, wow. You know? Fuck yeah. A real trans woman. Fuck yeah.
Good shit. All right, next one. One yes. Valentine's Day at a time.
I love this episode. Oh, you can start this one off. Yeah. I think it's funny. I think it's cute. I think it's really cute.
It's cute, yeah. So Sid really wants to go to Benihana's, and now so do I. So this episode, like, the rich people loving rich people. Honestly, I was kind of cool with, like, I preferred this a lot than... like Schneider becoming some like white savory spoiling a poor girl story. Like, I'm glad that it's like two rich people, like, not whatever, coming through and saving the other one, you know, like you would normally see.
At least the hilarious part of that was their concept of being poor is actually spot on. I was like, wow, I feel like
middle class.
totally middle class. I've totally bought Taco Bell and sat at a park and watched airplanes take off in on Bachman Lake in North Dallas. I've done that.
Wow. I was gonna say, like, I wouldn't go to Burbank. I would just go to, like, LAX, El Segundo.
Oh, you're fancy. Oh, I just want to love you. They're way closer.
Like, they're, anyways, go on.
Oh, okay. But, like, their concept of being poor, I was like, same word. She nailed that fucking shit. Hell yeah, get some Taco Bell and watch some fucking airplanes. Yes, I'm trash. Yes, I've done that.
It was pretty funny.
That was fucking funny.
I'll let you gush over Sid and Elena, and then I'll give my two cents.
Okay, so what I love is that they're, like, arguing, like, it's normalizing something that other people aren't used to seeing, and me seeing myself, because, like, I feel like I'm Elena when, like, women tell me what they want, and then I go, I'm so glad we don't want that, you know? Like, she's just obviously a poor
listener.
Does
want that.
Yeah, and she's, like, just a shit listener, and I'm like, same, yeah, I'm just completely clueless, and it's right in front of me, and yet I'm stupid, and so representation matters, so.
I don't know, I thought their fight was kind of basic, like, especially for people that kind of hammer on about being communicative and, like, respectful and stuff like that. I was kind of like, okay, I guess, and then I will say that I really liked that they as a couple are very gender non-conforming, because even though Sid is the one that's non-binary, like, she's the one that is, or sorry, they're the one that are is like, I want to go to Benihana's and be basic and shit like that, and then Elena is like, I want to go run a 5k, and there's no, like, and throughout the season even, there's no clear-cut guy girl dynamic, which is a mistake that a lot of people make. But in general, I'm like, I really hope that they give them more to go on than just, like, oh, we're both nerdy and awkward. Like, that's it. That's who we are. I want, like, some more levels. I guess we got a little bit.
They were doing that episode. Like, I feel like, you know, Sid was very, like, I want to know what color makes my eyes pop. How am I dreamy? You know, like, she was reading, like, Cosmo. Well, actually, yeah, it was Escándalo. Did you read the magazine?
I didn't look at it.
All the magazines were in Spanish, and they're saying things in English, the questions, and I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, like, they've never said if Sid knows Spanish, so that's funny.
I feel like maybe Sid does, because that magazine was called Escándalo, and they were reading it. So I was like, all right, go off, Sid. You're bilingual out here. Okay.
Interesting.
But yeah, that's kind of the only thing.
I
don't know.
I guess I was, like, underwhelmed. I was like, whatever about it. But
they made up for it in the next episode.
Well, let's talk about it. All right, the next episode is episode 7.
It's both my favorite episode, and there's something very problematic about it for me.
Oh, are you gonna tell me? I didn't catch a problematic thing. Go on.
Okay. Oh, in episode 7.
Other than the safe sex, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's it. That's
okay.
My problem.
They addressed it, but yeah, go on.
They addressed it.
Yeah, somebody had a problem with it, like, on, and they talked about it on Twitter, and then they addressed it. Yeah.
Oh, girl, I have not been on the interwebs like that. I've been watching the show.
Have.
So, okay, let me explain it first. So, this episode, Elena, Elena and Sid have their first,
horny teenagers.
They're being horny teenagers, and they rent a hotel, and they do horny teenager things. But
in the nerdiest way.
But also, this episode was really special and really cute because of the way that consent was handled between two queer people. I feel like people don't talk about the actual things that need to happen before you get serious and, like, have a sexual relationship with someone, is to literally have that conversation that they have before, is like, are you okay, are you ready, and then, like, have you been tested? And my problematic thing about it, and that I don't know yet, is that as queer people, you can get an STD from another queer person. Instead of, like, having, like, a safe sex conversation with Elena, the mom, when she finds out, doesn't really have a safe sex conversation with her. And I'm sure Elena can Google. I'm sure she can figure it out. But I feel like it was a missed opportunity for them to kind of address, like, actually, if you're a queer person, you can get an STD from another queer person. And I feel like it was a really, really huge missed opportunity, because that's such a huge misconception is just because you can't have children out of your sex that you can't come out of it with something. And to me, I'm like, this show is so good on everything else. Like, they're going to say it. They're going to be like, yes, you can. At least they could at least just said, yes, you can. And I would have been a little bit happier. But they really just dismissed the idea that queer women couldn't give each other. Queer cis femme people couldn't give each other something. And that's just like BS. They can. So what was the thing they said on the internet?
So on the internet. well, the thing is that, like, yeah, they... Whenever, because what Penelope does, because like you said, she doesn't know how to talk to Len about this because she knows how it is when it comes to a straight relationship. She doesn't know what to say when it's a queer relationship. So she goes to her local queer expert who tells her, like, that there's hardly any risk. And she says this because Sid and Elena have been dating for a really long time because they're young. And this is presumably their first time. So I think the... Basically, what the writers ended up saying was that they have Sid say that she got tested, as in, like, that's the implication right there. Like, she got tested. Like, she knows that you can get something. Like, it's obvious. Like, you know, you do need to be safe. Sid was safe. And they basically said that they did try to bring in actual lines of actual things that you can do. Mm-hmm. But that it kept sounding unnatural and preachy, which is a thing that we've said that they're very good about not doing. And that they also mentioned that they did kind of have a little bit of a shortcoming, that they cut out a little too much to where it wasn't hammered in. It was more implied, like I said, with Sid being like, hey, yeah, I did get tested, or them kind of blowing it off a little bit, because there is a very little risk with them two in particular, having been allegedly their first times, but then it wasn't.
It wasn't, yeah.
Yeah. So that's where it was, like... They did admit to, like, they fell short a little bit, and they also explained their reasoning behind it. I mean, this isn't going to be the last chance that they get, but I think it was really important that they said, like, Sid said, like, I got tested after doing it.
But I feel like, if anything, that, you know, the lesbian Yoda could have told her, been like, hey, like, when Penelope was having that conversation with the only other queer woman she knows, is that she would have been like, yeah, they actually can, you know, but not them. We don't have to worry about them. And then they could have been like, you know, so like their first time or whatever. They should, like, it literally, if they would have said just that, I would have maybe forgiven them. But it was just like such a huge thing to me, because I was like, you can't have these little babies out here thinking that they're going to be okay. Like, no, you got to be safe regardless. Like, who cares? Like, you got to be safe. It's wild out here. I saw some STD statistics, and it's, girl.
yeah. I mean, I think that's why, like I said, they did admit that it was a little bit short there. But to be fair, like, the Yoda was saying, like, hey, I, you know, there's very little risk. She didn't say no risk. She said little. And that wasn't completely false, because she was saying that in the context of the relationship Those between two. Them that she knew. Yeah. Like, she's not going to go and give advice to Penelope about something that isn't regarding Elena. It was unnatural, I guess, is what they were saying, is that they tried it and it wasn't natural.
Okay. I mean, still, I stand by what I said, but it's still one of my favorite. It's still my favorite episode of the entire season, because of everything, every conversation that's being had that you don't really get to see here with queer people. You don't get to see it with, like, a queer child and their parent. Come on, that conversation that Elena has with Penelope, that was, what? Like... Well, to me, it was major. Like, whoever talks about their parents about that stuff, that's odd.
yeah, and that was a part of it, too. She's like, why couldn't you do me the dignity of not getting caught?
Yeah, like, don't get caught having sex out here, kids. Like, I don't even want to think about that. That's weird. but, like, I mean, that's a really mature way that Penelope handled it, even though she, like, anyone would freak out. But I still think that the conversation she had with Elena about being all right after the experience, and, you know,
that was super important, very touching.
Mm-hmm. And you can tell, like, and I love how much space they gave each other, because it wasn't like, oh, these are the dirty details. She was just like, I'm okay. And then she was like, okay, I believe you. We're good. And yeah. That was, you know, caso cerrado, like, book closed, like, it's done. Like, I like that. That was really... I don't know. It meant a lot. And then Sid and Elena's dynamic in that episode, and the way they handled consent between them two was just really, really special and unique, and we don't get to see a lot of it.
A lot of people who identify as asexual were very, very happy with Sid's line of dialogue saying that she's okay, that they're okay with nothing ever happening. And I was mm-hmm. like, dude, that's major. I'm so glad that they had that.
I mean, that's like the most revolutionary thing I've heard, like, between two queer people, like, that are maybe going to, like, have sex is, like, no, actually. It was a
very idealistic
situation.
Like, I will say that. Like, it was very, like, to the T, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, shit, like, doesn't go that way.
No.
But people need to see it, so I forgive it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with it because it made me melt because I was like, Sid, you're a real one. You OG. You finna be out here killing, Sid, okay? You're killing it out here, Sid. But yeah, that's why I was just like, wow, that's like no pressure. Like, no, what is that? Like, it was right. Nice. So that's one of my favorite episodes. That episode alone, I want to just watch over and over and think more on it. So I don't know. I loved it. It's my favorite episode.
Gotcha. So in the next one, Elena learns to drive. Aww. She drives me crazy. I love the comments about the lesbian playlist.
Janelle Monáe. Sarah Price. Yes.
So good. This one was probably one of my favorite episodes, actually. It dealt with really sensitive and like a tough subject for me in particular, which is like mother-daughter relationships, especially when you're one of your parents or your parents are immigrants. So it was like one of the first ones that made me get really, really emotional because One at a Time tends to do that towards later in the season. But yeah, like Latina moms, they stay on their bullshit trying to fix their daughters. And that's been really tough for me in my day. So after Penelope and Abuela get into a ton of little fights where, you know, Abuela is just been pushing Penelope to be better in the way that she thinks is better, which is cooking, whereas Penelope's trying to push herself to be better, which is becoming a nurse practitioner.
Badass bitch.
And uh-huh. You know, sorry. Penelope really goes through it, and she's like really like, you can see the pain in her eye, you know, like she's really hurting about this. And then Elena comes to the door and she's so proud of her accomplishment of having gotten her having, you know, started to learn how to drive. And then Penelope like tells her everything she wants to hear from her mom, and like that was super cathartic, you know, because I'm more in my personal life, I'm more in the realm of Penelope and Abuela. So seeing that was really cool, because I think that shit sometimes, I'm like, man, like the things that have been said to me by my parents, like my kids would never, you know.
Yeah, you're gonna like break the cycle of that.
Exactly, you know? We literally see her break this vicious cycle with Elena, and it also kind of like forced me to see Abuela's side of it, because Abuela's like telling her like, you need to accept that I'm this way, that this is how I show my love, is by trying to push you to be better in the way that I think is better. So it made me try to be a little more understanding, even though at the end of the day, I'm on Penelope's side here.
I know exactly what part you're talking about. That was like, can we talk about Justina Machado's like acting though? Like,
that genius, wow. Genius woman.
That woman is always on the verge of an emotional breakdown in tears, and I'm same, because I'm just that scene, she acted the fuck out of that scene, like, wow, like that. I get what you mean, that was super emotional, because I don't have that relationship. My relationship with my mom is like, I'm Elena and Abuela's my mom, there's no Penelope. My brother maybe, but like I think that's interesting that you relate to Penelope's character in that way, like that you're holding it all together, you know, and that you're having to deal with that kind of pressure too. That's so real to like daughters and mothers, you know, like, ugh.
Yeah, but speaking of Justina Machado's amazing acting, this next episode, titled very, very perfectly, Anxiety. So Alfon Cuarón can step the fuck aside. The use of black and white in this episode, at first it confused me. I had to like rewind and be like, did my computer's color go out? I don't know what just happened. But but no, like the anxiety was portrayed through black and white scenes. And even like as she was coming down from her anxiety attacks, the color saturation would like slowly go up. And eventually it was like full color because she was out of her attack. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh my god, yeah. I thought, yeah, eat your heart out, Alfonso Cuarón. This show did it.
It was so important to like stress that depression, anxiety, like, runs in your family. It's not just like one random person, like when you're gay, you know, like me. It's like, I think maybe I'm definitely speaking for myself here, but like, we like to block out those memories of like these horrible things, you know, that we go through when we're younger. Because I remember like how anxiety and depression affected parts of my family. I won't like air out that dirty laundry, but I remember going through really tough times. And later on, whenever I had panic attacks and anxiety attacks, I had no idea what the fuck was wrong with me. Like, I had no fucking idea.
And thank you.
And I realized way later, especially because of this episode, that like people in my family were going through the same things, and I didn't know it when I was young.
Dude, yeah, I had a panic attack and I didn't even know what it was, and I found out years later. I told my mom and she's like, oh yeah, I get them all the time. Did you know they're hereditary? I was like, thank you for telling me after I've already had like three. Appreciate you. I thought I was dying. Like,
right.
Because that's how you feel. You think like your heart's going to explode.
Yeah, you think you're having a heart attack.
I think the way I found out is that I told my mom, I was like, I think it was an anxiety attack. It felt like my heart was going to explode. And she's like, oh yeah, I've had those. And I'm like, wait, what? They're hereditary. How come you couldn't tell me like when I was 10 that that's what was going on? I thought I was just like dying. I thought I was crazy. But I mean, the fact that like Latinos don't talk about that shit is so real. And the Penelope's out here breaking all of the cycles.
Every cycle. Elena's getting all this baggage. Pobrecita.
Yeah, because she's like, fine, I'm going to tell them I have anxiety and depression. And that's like something we never talk about.
Yeah.
I thought she did.
No, I'm saying like she didn't want to. Sorry.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Like Penelope didn't want to. Elena didn't want to tell her mom about it. Like, she's like, yeah, this has happened before. And she'd never said anything. It's like we're going back to this. This is kind of a common thing that they're addressing, is that we don't talk about these things. And that's why this show is so fucking important.
Yeah. These are all the things we, like, choose to ignore, hide under the... We never have these, like, family conversations about, like, this, you know? And I love it. I love breaking cycles. I mean, that's what me and you are basically existing in, is the broken cycle. So I think it's so fucking dope to watch it and watch Latino families, like... Latinx families, excuse me, go through this. And it's, like... It's really healing and cathartic to watch this show and this episode. Oh my god. And like, it's so real when you're coming down that you need someone to ground you. You need to be grounded by something. And I thought that was really important how they were showing how each person, like how Penelope calmed down. And I think that's really important to like people who get, you know, panic attacks, that like you have to see how they get grounded. Cause I didn't even know how to undo a panic attack.
Like, right.
It lasts still
don't
forever.
Know. Still don't know what works for you.
Yeah.
But hey, yeah, it's important to talk about it. And then it ends up being Schneider that helps out Penelope, which is a good transition because the next episode is kind of a lot about Schneider. So his privilege finally fucking peaks.
Ooh.
Like, fucking privilege peak. I'm glad that it was called out, and I'm also glad that they finally bring up like his true ignorance when it comes to like classism, because he doesn't realize the part that he's playing in gentrification, not for one second. And like,
no.
And of course, like, they, even though they are finally like showing like all these bad sides of who he is and his place in society, but his like Canadian kindness remains intact. Like, they, you know, she finds out that he's never raised Alvarez's rent. Even though 17. I'm sure, like, rent control, like, played a part there, I'm sure.
Yeah. 17 years, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like, Elena's 17. In 17 years, he's never raised the rent. Like, that's unheard of.
Yeah, basically. But I like that, like, the complexity of, like, being friends with, like, or close to, like, white people when you're a member of marginalized communities. Like, it's complicated. Sometimes I'm talking to these people and we're, like, perfectly clicking and we have all the same opinions. Next moment I'm like brought back to reality at how different we are. I'm like, I'm nothing like these people.
And it's always about money. It's always like, oh, you know, I make like offhand comments like, oh, capitalism is evil, or like, fuck capitalism. And they look at me like, capitalism is the reason I'm fucking here, bitch. And I'm like, what? Oh, how am I your friend this whole time and just now realize this? Still love you, but you I don't know if I need to cancel you or what. Like,
for me, it tends to be more on like the side of, you know, they don't give a fuck about like police brutality, or they don't care about like ICE, you know, like things like that, little things like that, where we tend to disconnect.
No, yeah. I mean, my disconnect is definitely just, like, you know, capitalism, like, financial ideas of the way the world is ran and, like, how business is ran and how I think all corporations are evil. Whereas they are like, no, like, work at the corporation and become evil. And I'm like, I don't agree. Mm-hmm. That's not who I am. Fuck a corporation. Down with the man and the patriarch. Anyways.
Honestly, Elena writing colonizer scum is a mood.
In chalk.
She's like, go erase that. Okay.
I will. And how she slowly undoes all the like lights everywhere. I'm like, she loses all
the sconces.
Sconces, yes. I stan her because she's like, all right, I'm going to fuck with capitalism just enough. Just enough.
They definitely take you through a roller coaster with Schneider, right? Because you see in episode 9, he's helping Penelope. Episode 10, he's a fucking douchebag. You fucking hate him. You hate his dad. By the end of 11, like, he's starting to go into a big part of this season, which is his relapse. And that's what we kind of take a little bit of a break from his relapse in episode 11, because they're instead testing out Victor, because Victor comes back into the picture with a penny and a nickel, played by the one and only Gloria Kelly Calderon.
Hey.
Isn't that wild? Isn't that freaking wild?
The way they look exactly the same.
I mean, she's based off of her, right? So it was beautiful. I mean,
it made sense when I saw. I was like, oh, wow, okay, this makes sense. But at the same time, I was like, they're both so fine. I mean, I don't mean to objectify either of them, but I was like, they're so beautiful, the both of them. Because I have, like, a longstanding crush on Justina Machada. Like, I am thirst when I see her. But then I saw both of them, and I was like, wait, Gloria Kelly Calderon looks like that, like, with curly hair? It's the hair. It was the hair.
She's got so cool. She's such a cool person. And we also get a lot more, or a little bit more, of Elena's complicated feelings towards her father in this episode. Funnily enough, he's getting married, right? He's getting married to Gloria Kelly Calderon's character, who is a doppelganger of Penelope, and her name is Nickel, and it's funny. And so... did you catch, I'm sure you did, where Elena's like setting ground rules and she's like, I'm not wearing a dress, I'm wearing my suit. Which, like, I was like, can I be Elena? Because I'm being forced to wear this dress in a month and I don't want to.
I'm sorry. That sucks.
Yeah, it does. I just booked my flights to Hawaii and I'm like, I should be more happy about this.
Yeah, but being forced to wear a dress, gross. I feel
it. It is. Oh, and another guest star is Janine Brito. She's another queer writer for the show.
Oh, that scene.
By the way.
At the bar.
Yeah.
Hey, girl.
That was good. That was some good shit. I was here for it.
A good representation of thirst. My favorite thing about this was that her feelings about her dad haven't changed.
They've evolved. Right?
They've evolved, excuse me. And they're a lot more complicated. And I felt the same way. And I was like, wait, is she just forgiving her dad? And no, she did not forgive her fucking dad. She was like,
come on, continuity.
Yes. Good writing. Good story. Strong plot. Okay, come through writing. My favorite part was that, like, and her bond with Alex is so adorable, because he's like, all right, pretend I'm dad. Go off on me.
Well, that was the next step. That was like two episodes later. I mean,
oh, and the actual,
yeah, that was at that finale. But yeah, but even in this particular episode, Alex was like, if Elena's cool with it, I'm cool with it. Like, he had her back this time, and that was really, really nice. And then in the background, nobody's noticing that Schneider is like
missing,
cutting in and out, and and everybody except for Victor, and Victor is like very protective towards his kids at the end there. When he tells Penelope, like, Schneider's got some issues. Yeah.
Suddenly he's protective.
Because, he's gotten his life together, and, like, now he's sober and all that stuff. But, it's hard to play the villain is what Gloria was talking about in the episode. Like, it's hard to be that guy. Like, everybody's still mad at Victor.
Yeah.
Including you.
Yep. Still mad at him. We don't hold that grudge. Me and Elena both still mad at him. But no, yeah, and the fucking episode was funny though. Like, I'm like, Dr. Leslie Berkowitz in this episode was fucking hilarious.
That was good. His wig. Yeah, he actually got like totally trashed. That was great.
I loved it. It was he's so underrated. I love him as the only old white dude in there. I'm okay with him because he's so like beta male. Shout out to him.
Yeah. So yeah. Episode 12 is a continuation on Schneider's drinking, and that's when he really reaches rock bottom. My favorite line, and I say favorite in like the most
well written.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Like, not in like, I love this line. I just thought it was really impactful that he's saying that while you're staying sober, your disease is doing push-ups. You know, like, it doesn't like wane, you know, like, this is just a part of you that you have to be wary of, just like mental health, just like everything else. So
it's a daily thing. The thing that broke my heart in this episode, I think, was when he took his pin, his 8-year sobriety pin, out of the Alvarez Museum, and he, and like, Abuela had just put it in there, and he had just, he so much desires to be part of the Alvarez family, and that was kind of like him going, I failed my only family that I thought I had, and now I don't get to be a part of that because I'm toxic. And that conversation that he has with Penelope once the kids are gone, that's I guess that's the other episode, but that conversation that he has with Alex in the laundry room,
how that was, you can, tough, right?
You can see how like addiction has completely changed his personality, where he's like aggressive and he's manipulative and he's a liar and he's literally all of the worst things you could think of, just because he started. I mean, he's addicted, and it was hard, dude. That was a hard scene.
Yeah, which makes the dialogue in episode 12 that much more impactful. And what I found out actually was that the character in real life, the actor who plays Schneider, which mm-hmm. is Todd Grinnell, he's been sober for I think like 12 years or something like that.
Wow, that's so amazing.
He went in to speak to the writer's room before they wrote this episode or broke the episode and told them like, this is what it's like, and really spoke to them about like the realities of being an addict. So a lot of the things that, some of the things that he actually took from his real life and told them ended up in the episode, like thinking, the part where he talks about thinking that he's a better version of himself, or like more just like a stronger person when he's drinking. And I felt that before, so that kind of hit me a little close to home there. And then using alcohol to cope with your feelings of like self-worth in general, like that's really real. Like,
yeah, I mean, and that's there. That's like really, I had read that article. I hadn't read the article. I'd seen it. I hadn't read it because, again, it came out literally today, right before.
Yeah, I was reading it today. I was like, oh, okay.
No, but yeah, and that adds like another layer of like really
authenticity.
Really, authenticity and really good work. Like, I love this show. Like, that was hard though, dude. Cause like, I mean, yeah, it hits, you know, it hits close where you're like, yeah, he didn't think he had a personality if he wasn't drinking. And he's like, no. Like, and he stood up to his father and he pushed away his Trump supporting billionaire dad or whatever. And that was, you know, at the end, the way he feels empty without a family, and like, that's addiction.
It makes you feel more understanding of him too, because it's not just like, oh, he's an alcoholic and he's just drinking alcohol. Like, he has a real reason that he's led to this, and there's a real emotional problems back here that need to be addressed.
So, and then you begin to understand why he loves the Alvarezes and Abuela so much, because that's his family. That's the only thing he really has. And then to disappoint them and take his little fucking coin out of there. His sobriety pin, just, I don't know, dude. That broke my heart.
Yeah. So the finale is about a month later. He's about a month sober. And it's the day of Victor's wedding. Because we always got to have a big event at the end of the seasons. And so Penelope throughout this episode is dealing with closure and loneliness. I like that they hammered in this episode, like, that as a single mother, needing a man is not the world for her. She's her own hero. She's her own savior. I like that they, like, had her go through this whole journey just to get to that point. You know, don't need no man.
Yeah. And I like that they're hammering in even more, like that same concept, but we don't really get to see it that much, especially, like, Latina women that can just
be mothers and badass, like, accomplished women outside of men. Like, we don't see that with Latinas. They're always, like, the mothers and the caretakers of, like, the men and the children. But you get to see her, like, really trying to fight for autonomy for herself. Because she's like, I just want to study. This whole, like, the last couple episodes, she's just stressed out and wants to focus on herself. And she's going into all those arguments with her mother because her mother wants her to be different, be like a kind of stereotype of a Latinx woman. A woman is just to nurture and take care, and they kind of lose themselves in that. And I love that the show's hammering in that self-love is more important than a man, you know, than a relationship, period. Because it's not like she had all these fine dudes and she was like, word, don't need any of y'all to be, you know, to feel good about myself. I'm a nurse practitioner, bitch. Have a great day. You know, I love that. We get to see a powerful, independent woman who's like, you know what? I might never find what you found with your dad, with my dad, but I'm going to be out here finding a lot of men, girl, because I'm Justina Machado. I'm fine. So.
And when I was at that panel last week, Norman Lear was there. And he mentioned that this really brought it back to the original One Day at a Time, where it was really important for Norman Lear and the other creators to have not just a single mother on the air, because what they always would do is have a single mom who was widowed. They wanted a divorced mother on the air. Like, that had never been done before. And it really brought it back to that moment, to where they used to have to fight for that. And now we are fighting for a whole bunch of other things now. But they brought it back to that, and I thought that was really special. Elena's storyline really wraps up here. that was probably like the one part where I really was like crying.
Yeah, like there's a lot between Elena and her father still. And her father, she goes to make this speech, but it's not genuine, you know. And we feel that, where you have to present a certain way but hide your feelings because it's improper, you know. Like, even though you haven't forgiven this man, you have to kind of pretend to be okay with it, because I don't know, we're taught our feelings aren't appropriate sometimes, and maybe they're not. And that's when that conversation of what she wished she could have actually said in that speech happens between her and Alex privately. And yeah, that hit a lot of nerves. That was really awesome.
Yeah, it was like she's talking about literally as a kid making emotional sacrifices for her father. And honestly, just from the way that the storyline was going, I think it would have been really easy to make it about Victor's struggle to accept her and how great he is for getting it together. But they didn't do that. They made it about Elena, who like is the one that has to patiently wait and to be treated like a valued person. And that's really, really fucking real. Like, our parents, or I don't know, like, not all of them, obviously, but, like, in my experience, it's like that, right? Like, you're just sitting around waiting for some type of validation, and it sucks. And it's, like, kind of, again, with Victor's apology that comes after that, which I think was really important that it was timed that way. It was a very idealist ending, right? Like, yeah, this shit doesn't happen in real life. It's cathartic to see. I think it's great to put on the screen. That's what TV's for, right? Suspend reality. And it's just, I don't know. It's also different for Elena because she's like a second generation Latina. Like, her mom and her dad are the first generation people. So it's a little different from a lot of our experiences.
Yeah. And I mean, another really important thing she said in that dialogue between her and Alex was that, you know, she's like, why do I have to be the adult between us? And that was where she was like, oh, why do I have to be like the grown-up between us? Like, why is it me? You know, like you said, the emotional labor, she has to do all of it. And like you said, it was super idealistic at the end. And like you said, it's a show, it suspends reality. It wrapped up kind of a little bit too nicely for me at the end.
I think it was good because honestly I would hate to have to wait a year for a real cliffhanger. What we end up getting instead is Abuela in Cuba with the doctor smoking a cigar. Bruh. And like the traditional Cuban Bruh. Shirt or whatever.
They look like super Beyonce.
They look
and Jay-Z.
So fly. Yes, I was so jealous.
I've never seen him look so cool. Like,
I know, It's good. What if like it brings him back like a changed man? Like, I just want to see that.
I hope he comes back as cool as he was leaning. I was like, wait, does she actually like him now? Because he seems like a dope ass dude now.
They
like,
were chilling.
He looked like Jay-Z. They were like Jay-Z and Beyonce in Cuba. Like, he was leaned up against this wall. Beyonce. Drake. No.
Drake.
But yeah, like, that was wild. Like, I can't wait to where they're taking this next season. Like, I have no idea, but I'm down. Let's go. You know,
hopefully, let's go Leslie.
Let's go Leslie. I hope he like just gets it together and comes back as the man that Abuela low-key wants, and maybe Abuela can kind of move on a little bit and start to live.
I want to see their little Cubano adventures. Like, I can't wait to see that. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. Because I was just like, what if they have some, like, forbidden love thing where, like, she's in a love triangle with the ghost of her ex-husband? Like, wouldn't that be, like, adorable? She's like, no, I must not tell Berto. You know, and, like, they, like, run away to Cuba together. And then they come back and she's like, we can't ever talk about it, you know? We would hurt Berto. Like, I cheated on him. You know, like, I want that. Like, I want that third wheel. That third wheel. I want the love triangle.
Well, since we've wandered onto the subject, and to kind of wrap up this episode because we're pretty much done, what do you want to see in next season?
I want to see like Elena do some wild shit. Like, I want her to mess up. You know, she's like too perfect.
Right now with her Yale and all this stuff.
Yeah, I want her to fuck up and like drink, and like I want her to crash a car. Wait, okay, she's driving, so she's probably gonna crash a car. I want her to go to like a party and like meet a different gay girl who's like cool, you know, not like
I want her to change. I want her to like
fuck up.
I don't want her to not be like, I want her to be herself. Like, she's who she is. That's set in stone, right? Like, she's a nerdy, smart girl who has really high expectations of herself, and she's a social justice warrior. Maybe that's what she can do, is like the social justice stuff, like really get into that. I remember on the Fosters, Callie, who was an artist this whole time, realizes like her passion for social justice is way bigger than anything else, and becomes a lawyer, and like that kind of becomes a transitional plot point, and that would be really interesting to see in One Day at a Time. Level up, you know,
it's funny because you want her to be like a more of a badass, and I want her to fuck up. I want her to be like imperfect. I'm like, I want her to rebel against herself a little, you know, like
you
I want
both,
her to just
though.
I well, think no, she's still gonna like to. Come back to like who she is, but I want her to fuck up. You know, I want her to crash a car. I want her to like meet like that like lesbian that wears like a leather jacket and be like, wow, I'm gonna go make this mistake. You know, like.
Yeah, I feel like we're wanting similar things, but we're like, for you, you're saying like fucking up, but for me it's like, I think that's a part of it. I think like if she were to make that change, she needs to fuck up, you know, those
story
things are intertwined.
Arc development. Okay.
I don't know, I'm pretty stoked for it though. And with Penelope, I don't know, what do I want with Penelope? I want her to like, I don't know, like
get some money. I want her to get some money.
That'd be cool if she just started balling out.
She's a nurse practitioner. She should be getting to that money now. Like,
hopefully.
Also, wasn't this whole, like this season, like, other seasons, like, a fucking ad for, like, shoes again?
Oh, yeah. God, Alex's personality probably needs to go beyond his hair and his shoes. But whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty spot on of a Latino dude, though. Like,
yeah.
That's kind of right, you know. They're into themselves, and we didn't see his girlfriend. We never got to see Chloe.
No, because he got grounded the whole time. But I like that it worked out for this season, because he needed to be such a support for Abuela and such a support for Elena and for his mom, and that was really important to see, because usually it's women supporting men, and this time it's like this little boy supporting all these women.
And that's, I love that. I feel like he's like a water sign. Like, I feel like he's a Cancer. You're like, oh my god,
that's our cue to end this episode. Okay, cool.
But yeah, we love this show. You guys should go watch it. If you already watched it, watch it again with us. And if you saw something we didn't talk about, trust me, we probably thought about it, but let us know. Send us, DM us, comment, let us know what your feelings are. If we missed anything that you were fucking really feeling and we just totally didn't talk about, let us know.
You know where to find us at CYC Podcast on Instagram and Twitter.
You can find me at Fried Papita on Twitter, and you can follow Maita.
You can follow me at MYTE Panda on Instagram and Twitter. If you have anything you want to just send us, like, outside of the the social medias, you can also email us at cycpodcastmail@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook. We also really need your ratings and reviews.
Yes. That'd be great. Send the reviews. And
we'll try to link some stuff, some articles and stuff on our website on cabronasychingonas.com. What else? Patreon.com/CYC podcast if you want, you know, extra content every month. Shout out to all 13 of you, 12 of you that are following us on there. That's crazy. It's a bunch of y'all. You're the best.
Anyways, happy Thursday, y'all.
Bye, guys. Bye.